Good evening
for the Facebook live audience, yes. But for the web exclusive podcast, it could be anybody. It could be listening at any time,
right? Or they could watch this tomorrow when they say, "Oh, the page was live." And go, oh, really? Was
right? So, but I guess we should
tell
do
them
a,
why they're here.
We should say a good evening because we're recording in the evening. And hello, Facebook Live. I'm Cody Goff. I'm here for the Brian Noonan Show web exclusive podcast of Brian Noonan and a returning Roger Badish.
And now you can see Roger because we've got the new camera angle, so Roger is able to be seen. His three or four rabid the people that he paid to call and complain and tell us, why isn't Brian sure letting me be seen on the podcast? Now we can see him.
Yeah.
So welcome. We're glad you're here.
Thank you.
We've got again our billboard available for rent. If you are interested in getting involved in the program in a financial way, there you see the billboard. Tonight it is brought to you by TonyLovesTina.com. That's Tony and Tina's wedding. Get invited. Buy your tickets now. The show opens September 22nd at Chicago Theater Works, 1113 West Belmont in Chicago. And if you use the promo code Noonan10, you save $10. There, I got my plug out.
Look at you.
Yeah, listen, I'm all about plugging things, getting things going. Cody this week has said to me, listen, this is how I want the podcast to go. Even though it's a Brian Noonan Show podcast,
right.
This is how I want it to go. I have stories that I need to share. And so because I am a benevolent dictator, I will allow.
Excuse me. Well, I believe this web exclusive series used to be an equitable arrangement.
Well, it's still under the banner of the Brian Noonan Show, but of course you have a lot of input in this, and we do enjoy your stories. And I always like to hear your stories. I just thought it was funny that tonight you went, so we're going to start with this, and then I'm going to tell this story, and then you can do something. I was like, oh. It's all right.
There was a point.
I'm gonna go take a nap. Wake me when you're done.
There was a point in the history of our web exclusive series at which you just kind of said, "Yeah, I don't really care, whatever." Not that you didn't care.
Yeah,
but
I don't really care. That's my attitude toward pretty much everything. Yeah, I don't really care, whatever.
You would always bring content, but there were a couple where you just said, "Yeah, we can do whatever you call it, whatever."
Right.
And
no, I always have content, but I always like to hear your content. I don't care about the order. I just thought your pronouncement tonight struck me as a little chafing under the yoke of oppression by the man.
Yeah.
It's, right, Roger? It sounds like that.
So. I felt an edge to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like, hey, I got a couple stories. Can we do this? No, it was, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to start with a CM Punk recap, and then I have a story, and then you can do whatever. I'm like, oh, well,
you know,
rise up. I'm going to rise. If I could do some Hamilton.
Yeah.
And then preparation for that opening in town in a few
weeks.
When
he sat down and threw the whiteboard out of the room, right. Then we knew we were in business.
I think "who's the man now" came out of his mouth, which I found unsettling.
I mean, to be fair, I said that after you said okay, the "who's the man now."
Yeah. But at least he said okay to, hey, can we wait a second? Then he said okay.
Yeah.
And then you came in with, I'm in charge here.
Well,
I notice I keep hoisting myself too because I'm uncomfortable with the angle.
I'm not even looking at the video. I was actually
I always like to watch.
Since you
oh,
Tony
my
and
my old partner Laura Hirsch saying hi. Hi Laura Hirsch.
Look at that.
Yeah, from the overnight.
Your WGN part.
My old WGN partner.
You started here.
My very first, I think the first 6 months I was here, I was with Laura in the overnights.
Wow. Pre Cody Goff.
Yeah, pre Cody Goff. That was Christy.
I've been around for a long time.
You
too.
Have been here a long
time. Well, you know,
time.
You've
been way too long. You're getting gray.
Roger's been here a long time. Yeah, Cody's looking old.
Yeah.
So old that he feels his time is limited, so he has to get his stories in right away. Because if we wait any longer, time is the tyrant, and it might swoop down and snatch young Cody from the jaws of the radio program. And so we must get his stories on first. And I know his first story. Also, there's elements of other WGN people in this story.
Ooh.
If he's going to add that to that, he's wearing a shirt that represents his story, so he will not forget his story.
I was going to say, I almost ripped off my shirt and put it where your little Tony and Tina's thing was.
Well, you can do.
Boy, that's really.
Are we getting any money from CM Punk?
Yeah, right.
Not so much.
We're not getting any money from CM Punk. Keep your shirt on, pal.
Yeah.
All right. So go ahead, please tell us your stories, Cody. I'm going to sit with Rap. rapt attention. Watch this. Okay. Facebook Live, folks, watch this. This is me with rapt attention.
If you hear the snoring.
You don't have to pretend to be interested.
I'm always interested in what you have to say, unless it gets really boring.
Sure.
But I'm interested when you start every story. I'm not going to promise I'm interested at the end of the story.
Sure, okay. All so right. I have to captivate your attention throughout.
I'm grabbed now.
Okay.
My attention can only wane. It can't get more peaked than it is right now. So you either have to keep it at this level... Because it drops off steadily.
Sure. All right. Well,
go.
CM Punk made his UFC debut last night.
And I know what both of those things are.
You do. Roger, are you aware?
I'm vaguely aware of CM Punk. Sure.
He's great.
Wrestler.
I'm wearing
from here in Chicago.
Yeah. Half of my wardrobe is CM Punk shirts.
I think I'm following him on Twitter because of you.
I think I'm following him on Twitter.
I'm not sure.
I may have heard of him.
Is it Coach?
His coach?
Yeah.
He goes by Coach on Twitter. Yeah. I don't know why.
See?
M?
Look at that. But that's the extent of everything for me.
Roger's a pro. Anyway, he got beat up really badly by this guy, Mickey Gall. You look horrified. You're looking out the window and you look confused.
I see people hunting Pokemon right outside.
That person's taking a picture. I don't see
him. No, they were all, I think, well, maybe they were photographing things. It looked like they were trying to catch them all. All right, so CM Punk is going to fight in the UFC. Now, he is a wrestler.
Yeah.
Sports entertainment, so we know wrestling is scripted, but it's still physically demanding.
Sure.
It's still an actual athletic competition, but it's 180 degrees from the UFC.
Totally. I mean,
which is barbaric pit bull fighting in human form.
He started training in November 2014, so it's been almost 2 years of training.
Okay.
Just nonstop for this.
Right.
And he debuts, he's 37 years old, debuts against undefeated Mickey Gall, 23 years old, or 24. 24
so
years old.
Spring chicken.
Spring chicken, 2-0 undefeated, and in both of his professional fights, he won by submission in the first round.
Oh.
So he beat CM Punk by submission in the first round. Yeah, submission. Like,
so
he's
like
choking
a rear
them.
Naked choke.
Yeah, to death.
The rear naked choke on.
And if they don't tap out, they're probably going to die or have something broken.
We should start a bidding war. How much will people pay to watch me put Roger in a rear naked choke?
Rear naked choke is your favorite.
It's my
submission.
Signature move.
That is your signature,
it's my signature
right.
move. The rear naked choke. Because it sounds not only hurtful, but humiliating.
You're right.
For 10 years. How many times has Brian referenced the rear naked choke, Roger?
Anytime submission comes up.
A lot more when we were in the old studios than he
right,
has
when I used
lately.
To do them in the middle
yeah,
of the
right,
night.
Right.
Here
the
we got
the
windows.
Night.
People
Even
people
before
are
you came on board. Sure. Who knew what was
Why
going on
Why do you think Christy
there?
Left?
Yeah.
Why do you think Laura quit?
I was going to say. No wonder I've never
Everybody,
met her.
Of course. Once I throw you in a rear naked choke, you never come back.
Yeah. Well, he got beat in 30 seconds or a minute or so.
Oh,
it
last
was quick.
Night?
It was quick.
Oh, okay.
He rushed him, and Mickey Gall just hammered at him.
Yeah.
And I was screaming at the TV for them to stop. I just kept saying, "Why are you not stopping this fight?"
Ugh.
But did he
tap out, or did
he eventually tapped? Yeah,
okay.
But once because he did change positions a little, and he ended up getting him. And I think the rear naked choke.
Of course.
And he was purple. I mean, the shade of color on his face was horrifying. But I just wanted to mention that you got to respect a guy if it's willing to do that.
No.
Wow.
Anyone who would walk into the squared circle.
It was the octagon.
The octagon
square
circle.
Square circle is boxing.
Seriously.
It is.
Don't. Why? I mean, what do you got to prove that you had the brains popped out while he's choking you? Little brains you had left?
Ooh.
He wanted to prove
Them's
it to himself,
he
Roger.
To prove what?
He wanted to prove that he could do
that
it.
He could do it.
You know what? Do an arm wrestling thing. Let him rip your arm off, not choke you to death.
Roger's worked up.
Wow.
You know what he needs to be? Submission.
I can't stand that kind of violence. I really don't like the...
You don't like UFC?
I don't like UFC at all. I think it's ridiculous. If you want a street fight, we got tons of streets here in the city. Walk down a couple and do your thing and then go home.
Fight someone?
Just fight somebody. Come in here. We'll let you fight.
Well, from the sound of it, even the referee didn't care any until the guy's face was ready to explode.
I did see pictures of him doing his... He took a beating.
Yeah.
So if he took that beating in that short a time... I mean, I've gone to some UFC, not UFC, but Bellator MMA stuff. So I've been right up close. And it's hard to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm no prude, and I understand it's athletic. You know, and is it more barbaric than boxing? No, not really. I mean, it's more intense than boxing. But boxing, you can put them all in the same bucket of the bucket of deplorables, if you want to, if those are your kind of sports, deplorable sports. And it just, I don't get it, but I don't say, well, it shouldn't happen. If a guy wants to go in and, listen, that's what I love about America. You want to go in and get your head bashed in? All right. And jeering and screaming fans who are paying a ton of dough to either be there in person or watch it on pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And it's all kinds of people who are big fans of this. And I think it kind of goes back to, and agree or disagree, it goes back to like watching Gladiators and stuff like that.
I was just going to say that.
Because our society has gotten kind of soft. And we don't do a lot of manual. There's people who do manual labor, but a lot of us don't do manual labor. And maybe, I don't know, we feel if we watch this, we can get back in touch with our tough, primitive, manly sort of things. Nah. And women like it because it's, I don't know, it's just a whole big thing.
It's crazy. And I was going to say, when you were talking, it's just like the Gladiators. You know what we ought to do?
Uh-oh.
Turn the lions loose in the street.
Let them go at it.
No, we'll stay in the studio. Let the lions go in the street, and anyone who wants to act like a He-Man,
why don't you
can just go?
You just want to sacrifice all the pedestrians?
Yeah, really. I hate boxing.
Why are you letting the lions loose on just random folks who are walking to, you know, to
because they're
Chipotle.
The ones who are probably paying money to go see this stuff.
Well, random folks aren't paying money to go see it, but it's not like maybe. Why would these ladies have to be eaten by a lion?
Well,
as they walk
these
by?
Ladies can come in with us.
Why don't we
that's
just
right.
why there don't are, we just have an arena?
There are children. They walk
so.
By this.
Yeah, there's
studio
kids
rides.
Who are out running that's around.
Well, they're not. Chasing Pokemon. They're doing battle.
Pokemon are peaceful creatures.
Not when they're battling.
Other than they only battle each other.
I'm going to say your plan holds no water, and we disavow any. We disavow any knowledge of it.
Of its existence?
Right.
Thank
we
you.
Don't. The opinions of Roger Badish do not in any way reflect the opinions of the Brian Noonan Show. I have been accused of all sorts of things.
Yes.
I don't want to be tied to. Yeah, and then he was promoting letting lions out to just kill everybody. Really? Is that what he was doing? Yep, that's exactly what was happening. Get to the newsroom and spread your weird propaganda and your death
thanks,
threats.
Roger Badish, everybody.
Roger Badish, everybody. Say goodbye to Roger, folks. Holy cow. That is, let lions loose to eat people.
Well, anyway, I just
anyway,
wanted
so
to...
you you want to give a shout-out to Straight Edge CM Punk.
Well, and I want to give some perspective, right? So he loses in the first round by submission in a minute or so. So has all of Mickey Gall's opponents.
Sure.
And I don't think that makes him less of a fighter. Does that mean he's a bad fighter? Well, Ronda Rousey beat Kat Zingano in 14 seconds. Does that mean...
Who's coming out? Why do you feel the need to defend CM Punk? Are people rallying against him, calling him names and saying he can't fight and he's not tough and he's washed up?
He's getting a little hate on Twitter and social media. And
duh!
Of course. Everybody.
The world gets hate on Twitter and social media.
Tell that to Leslie Jones.
Yes.
All right?
Yeah, but... come on.
So
once they hack into your stuff and steal your pictures, that's...
Oh, no,
a
that's...
Much.
She's... Has experienced some next level.
Horrible, yes.
Way next level.
Oh, okay. I thought you were.
No.
Soft selling that.
No. All that right. that got way out of hand. I think maybe at first she overreacted a bit, but things got out of hand pretty fast. I just wanted to put out that that point of view that you can get beat up real fast, real hard by somebody really strong and still be a good fighter. I don't think a lot of people would last more than 10 seconds in the ring with Ronda Rousey. Kat Zingano, probably stronger than a lot of those people. So I'm just saying I'd be interested to see CM Punk in a more even match because they put him against a beast. I mean,
maybe do you think they wanted to say, listen, you come from wrestling. Maybe we don't respect wrestling. You think you can come into our world. All right, we'll put you up against the best and then see if you really can hang in our world.
I think there was some of that.
Because come on, we know Dana White and the whole UFC crowd. It's a very, you think testosterone is a thick when we follow the football show. I can't imagine the meetings that go on, the thick testosterone cloud that's floating around UFC headquarters in Vegas.
The thick testosterone cloud.
Yep.
That's not a visual that I ever want to...
Like they're skunks spraying out testosterone plumes.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
So I paint a picture.
So you didn't have any interest in checking it out? Or
I didn't... You know, I'll be honest. My only knowledge now of UFC, I know a lot about Conor McGregor, the little wily Irishman. because there's something about him. It's like he's like a really nasty leprechaun. He's like if the Lucky Charms guy started lifting and finally got so mad that kids were stealing his cereal that he just went, you know what? It's time to start laying people out.
Wow.
And that's Conor McGregor. I love that he's nonstop trash talking. I love the huge tattoos and the crazy lifestyle. I love it all. So I don't really watch. I know one of my buddies used to watch every UFC fight that came along, and now, but that was when it was like there were one or two a year. Now it seems like there's a big bout every month.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
yeah, it's a little more.
And had you had other interest? If it hadn't been CM Punk, would you have been somewhere watching it last night?
I might have watched Rousey's return. Might watch because I do follow her. I do like her.
Yeah, I like Ronda Rousey,
but. Yeah, otherwise.
Right, because you have a wrestling connection with CM Punk that you know,
invested in. It was the Cult of Personality, which is the music he came out to.
Of course.
His WWE entrance theme.
Nice.
Pretty surprising. He soaked up the feeling from the crowd, too. You could see he was like, I don't know if I'm ever going to do this again.
Right.
I'm just going to enjoy this, and he did.
Well, listen, if you set a goal and you want to do something, I think this is where you were going. I commend a guy for saying, I'm going to do something that, people don't think I can do. I'm going to try it. Doesn't mean I'm going to do it again. Doesn't mean I'm going to be successful, but why not give it a try?
It was cool.
Yeah.
So that was a fun event. Craig Collins, super producer, came out.
Super producer. Did he come out of a phone booth?
He wore a cape to the bar, which I thought was an odd choice.
Yeah,
but
that's strange.
You know, he likes to color coordinate. His wife was his sidekick. She was wearing a mask. It was
really?
Very dramatic.
Wow.
Very dramatic. But yeah, Craig came by and we had a couple
nice
drinks.
Nice to see him. Haven't seen Craig in a while.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. So.
And was this a UFC bar?
It was Rocks North Center, and they are a bar up right Lincoln Square, and they show all the pay-per-views from UFC, WWE. I love that bar. It's big. It's never super packed. Love it. Shout out to Rocks North Center. If you'd like to sponsor the Brian Noonan Show podcast, we will let you do that.
Somebody asked me to look at the camera and give them a wink.
Oh,
Judy did.
Oh, I thought that was good timing.
Judy. Yeah.
Tied right in.
Well, listen, we wanted Rocks, too. Sure, I wink at Rocks. I'll wink at anybody who wants to come on. Let's see. All right.
Any action on the Facebook page you need to shout out?
No, just I'm waiting for your next story because you said you started a story last week, much like the week before when I teased a story and made people wait an entire week. You said you had a story last week, but didn't want to get into it because time was tight.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you wanted to get into that story this week.
We'll do that. I'll do it. I'll try and be brief about it.
No, you don't have to be brief. I'm just, I know we want to get to your story.
We'll talk, and we'll Facebook Live it, and then we'll
Facebook Live
your
story.
Sure? Yeah, we'll cut off Facebook Live after, so you know, for your story.
Well, my story's
don't tell them that. They don't know that.
My story rocks.
You should still check out the web exclusive.
My stories are all. Come on. Well, who are we kidding? My stories
great.
Are always fascinating.
They're always awesome. They're always awesome.
My life is just a page turner.
Right. It sure is, Brian. So listen,
we've
talked on the Brian Noonan Show about...
I'm going to take these off.
Dumpster diving.
Yes, and not for lunch, but you like to do it for fun and profit.
Right. We've had a guy on that says you can find valuable things and resell them and all that.
And you've done this in the past.
I've done it in the past.
Much to my horror.
I found some furniture. There was a time right behind my apartment, there were a bunch of boxes next to the trash can with a bunch of books in them.
Right.
Did we tell this story?
Yeah, and you got all the books for
got
your
got a bunch
for
of medical college textbooks.
Yeah.
Ended up selling them and made a couple $100.
Nice.
Off of these medical textbooks a guy had just thrown out.
Yeah.
So last weekend, Labor Day weekend, fell on the end of the month, the turn of the month.
Oh, when people are moving.
When people are moving.
Ha ha.
So in my infinite amount of romanticness, I turn to my girlfriend and say, hey, we have a 3-day weekend. Let's go treasure hunting. We call it treasure hunting.
Oh, is that what you call it?
Let's walk down hot alleys in Chicago and pick through people's trash and try to find things.
Last weekend.
Last weekend.
When it was 100.
It was not that hot. It wasn't that hot.
It was that hot.
Definitely wasn't that hot.
All right, go ahead.
So.
It was really hot. I almost swore that's how hot it was.
Wow, that's rough.
To describe how hot it was.
So I'm going to tell a story of a surprising thing that happened. And also frame...
Yes, Uncle Cody?
Frame the conversation with this treasure hunting thing, this picking, going down alleys and picking up valuables. is an interesting way to meet interesting people and have fun experiences. So I was doing this a year ago or so, and I met Dino Danelli from the Rascals.
I remember that story. This was like one of the first or second times that you dove in a dumpster,
yeah,
correct?
First or second time I was in Lakeview
from
and I met Dino Danelli, the drummer, the original drummer from the Rascals. This actually happened. He was throwing out some stuff or picking through something and said, yeah, I'm retired. I just come into town sometimes and end up in dives. And so I got to talk to Dino Danelli for like a half hour. Cool. So I was in Lakeview with my
Who'd
girlfriend.
You meet now?
I was in Lincoln Park, and I didn't meet anybody of note. But, okay. And here's the thing.
Some random dumpster dude?
Here's the thing when you think dumpster diving. You think a guy half in a dumpster digging through trash.
I think of a guy three quarters away and just his feet kicking into the air.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's disgusting.
Horrifying.
What I do is... they've got all the trash cans outside of a lot of apartments.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there are boxes next to the trash cans.
Okay.
Especially when people move.
Right.
This is where I find stuff.
Okay.
We were walking by a bookstore a few months ago, and there were seven or eight boxes overflowing with books.
Okay.
And we grabbed a bunch of books and took a few of them home. Because what the heck? They're there.
Sidebar, somebody dumpster dived my alley today.
Really?
I took out four patio chairs. Because they were about 12 years old. We had six. Two of them, they're so old that they ripped now, and it's that webbing that you can't replace. So this was the time of year I thought, if we got to get new patio chairs, this is the time of year because every store is trying to liquidate them. So I got new patio chairs. Long story short, I take the four still usable, halfway decent chairs out to the alley, and I think they'll be here for a day or so, and somebody will grab them. They were gone in 20 minutes. Turns out the people two doors down took them because I'm walking back in from the alley after taking some other garbage out, and I look and I see my four chairs up on their deck, and I was like, oh, well, at least somebody's using them.
Wow.
So we got dumpster dived today.
That's pretty
so
great.
So back to your story.
Well, America wastes a lot.
We do. Well, yeah. Or you're replacing something and somebody can still use it, so it's better to... I always put stuff out.
Exactly. So I consider this environmental in a way.
Oh, is that what you consider it?
I do.
Socially conscious. Is that how we're framing it?
Socially conscious, also very cheap, but...
Right. But you never know what you'll find. Didn't you find some giant picture or some giant map or something?
We didn't find a map.
Golf pictures? Did you find some art?
That was diving through Spike's office when he moved out.
Oh, all right, never
the
mind.
Station.
That doesn't work.
But there's other stuff.
All right, so you're walking along.
In this story, I both literally and figuratively struck gold. I'm
what?
Serious. So
somebody's teeth?
There's no.
Oh.
So there's a row of really nice houses on Fullerton. In Lincoln Park. Really nice.
Are you sure you want to give out the location?
I'm not going to give it an exact.
All right, because right now people are like, hold on.
No. It wasn't, but near there in Lakeview.
All right.
In Lakeview, Lincoln Park. I'll be fake.
Well, I don't want somebody going to your spots.
No, and I won't give an address. And this is a one-off. Here's the thing. You can go out 100 times and find nothing, but this time... I just want to tell the story of striking gold. So go by an apartment, and there's a couple boxes next to the dumpster. There's a sofa with a bunch of pillows on it. Clearly someone's moving out, getting rid of furniture, getting rid of stuff. And
good shape?
This is the sofa. You know, you don't do sofas because bed bugs and stuff. Gross.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
But there's a couple boxes. One's labeled books, and I go jackpot because my girlfriend loves books.
All right.
She goes in there. The complete works, this paperback Barnes & Noble edition, Volumes 1 and 2, The Complete Works of Sherlock Holmes.
Oh.
We now own The Complete Works of Sherlock Holmes.
Is that right?
Because some guy was going to throw out a bunch of books.
Okay.
So,
that sounds nice. I don't know if that's gold, but it's nice.
Sure, and that's not gold. But so then there's a box of some kitchen supplies. I grab some spices.
Really? You take spices?
They were still sealed.
Oh, brand new?
Still brand new sealed spices.
All right, I take that. Expired?
So no, not expired.
Okay.
I'm just checking. So a guy comes down carrying a box, sees me kind of picking through this stuff. He goes, oh, you know, go have at it. It's all yours or whatever. So we now have...
He says that out loud in his mind. He goes, how pathetic.
Probably.
But
we now
have
explicit permission to be picking this stuff.
Yeah.
And he looks like a well-off guy that works in finance or something and has a great job. He lives in a killer neighborhood.
Okay.
So I'm like, all right, this stuff probably isn't growing mold on it. This stuff probably isn't
He hasn't injected every spice can with or spice bottle with some sort of anthrax.
Right. There's probably not cocaine residue or heroin on the sides of
That's
it.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
Right. All right.
So we keep going, and I grab a few other things. A couple boxes of mac and cheese. What the heck? There's food getting thrown out. There's a box of pasta. What? Why not? That saves me $2.
Unopened?
Yeah. Okay. All of it unopened,
all of
unexpired.
It unopened. All right.
Grab a few things. We grabbed a big poster of the L tracks.
Oh.
Just random stuff. And then we get to...
Now, do you bring some sort of shopping cart with
backpack.
You? Backpack. All right.
I had a backpack. Well, and actually, it's funny, because right on top of everything was a plastic clothes basket.
Perfect.
And my girlfriend goes, I'm wanting a clothes basket. So she grabs the clothes basket.
Then you could fill the clothes basket with all of your treasures.
We did. And
again,
we saw the guy. This isn't all shady, gross in a dumpster. These are just boxes a guy set outside for 10 minutes.
Right.
So finally, my girlfriend's ready to go. She's like, all right, this is kind of weird and stupid. We should be going.
This is kind of weird. And now I feel like I've just garbage picked food.
Right.
And things are getting weird.
And I was the only one that got the food, of course. So I go in and it was also funny because all the mugs were there were like 20 mugs all individually. They were all super basic.
There was
a keep calm and carry on mug.
And they were all wrapped?
They're all wrapped because they must have moved or he threw out a girlfriend or I don't know.
Yeah, or he moved one time and never opened that box and finally on the next move was like, forget it, I'm not taking this box.
Right. Because
that happened with us when we moved. There was like stuff we hadn't unpacked when we moved into the house and then we were moving to the new place. It was like, well, if we haven't opened this in 10 years, don't even open it.
Exactly.
Just put it outside.
Exactly.
All right.
All right. So now I'll get to the main event.
No. Now there's basic mugs.
Oh, there's the basic mugs.
All right.
And some clothing. Some clothing in a big Tupperware. And I look, and I'm not going to probably get clothes, but I noticed
that... Then you could dress like a well-to-do finance guy.
You want to talk well-to-do clothing. I look, and there's a couple cashmeres that are unworn. They still had the tissue paper. The brand is Club Room.
That's Macy's.
It's
it used
Macy's.
To be Fields.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's Macy's.
Oh, it's Macy's.
It's
Club
a Macy's
Room.
Brand. I looked them up.
Yeah, it's their store brand.
I grabbed two Club Room cashmere little sweater things, $150 each.
Wow.
Brand new, never worn.
Okay.
They don't fit me. I'll probably sell them.
What grab size?
Small.
Oh.
I know.
Small? What are you, garbage picking from the Lollipop Guild?
I can't even believe we carry these boxes down to the alley.
So there's that.
That's $300 worth of cashmere.
$300 worth of cashmere. Grab some DVDs that I'm going to just sell at the exchange or something. They
okay.
have season one of Big Bang Theory and Entourage.
Wow.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Just a couple of random DVDs.
Some bro watching.
So that's good, right? So
yeah,
then
that sounds good.
There's a little, it looks like a bag for like a pen case, like a little leather case you'd put a bunch of pens in.
Yeah, yeah.
And I unzip it real fast and glance in, and there's some papers, and there's a couple bills in there. And I go, this is interesting.
Bills of money or bills of...
Like bills of money, like $2 bills. So I go, this is interesting, and then it's in a little bank envelope. So I zip it, kind of look around. Well, all right, they were in the
trash. Right down the groin.
Let's pop them in the clothes basket. So we go home, we open this thing up. So there's $20 in $2 bills.
Okay.
Which is cool. How often do you see a $2 bill?
Not often anymore.
Right.
They were going to be the big thing.
So there's that. And
right,
then
so there's 20 bucks.
There's a bunch of coins. And not coins like quarters and things.
Are they coins of the realm?
They're doubloons, kind of. They're not doubloons. But
Krugerrands?
I just wanted to say doubloons because you
I
love
like
that
doubloons.
Word.
I do love doubloons.
Think coins from U.S. coins that are 50-cent pieces or dollar pieces from the early 19 and late 1800s.
Okay.
Like several. Like, say, a stack from the late 1800s.
Silver dollars?
Silver dollars.
Okay.
That are worth about 20 bucks a piece.
Really?
Now.
Says who?
Says all the coin appraisal sites I've looked at. Now,
we'll circle back.
Now,
to that.
I'm probably not going to get 20 bucks a piece for all these coins. I'm not a big coin collector. I don't know that much about coins. But then there's a little box that we find.
Uh-oh.
And we open up this little individual box.
Please tell me it had a finger.
Two fingers.
Really?
Two middle fingers.
That's twice the story I wanted.
Two middle fingers.
Two.
It is a...
Really?
solid gold. Well, not solid, but it is a gold. It is a $20 coin.
Okay.
From 1882.
All right.
And it says the estimated value on a little scrap of paper, and it's a lot of money. I've done research
like
on
how much.
I have done research online, and conservatively, the lowest estimate for value for this coin, resale value, is $1,300.
Get out.
Bare minimum.
Wow. All right. I will. May I warn you without
you
raining on your parade? We just had to go through this when my uncle died, and my uncle died. He had a big box of coins. My aunt died. All of a sudden, my brothers and I have this big box of coins,
mm-hmm.
and we go through it. And my wife is meticulous, and she goes through every one of these silver dollars, and she goes on like three different sites, and she creates a spreadsheet with the range of what each of these coins is worth. We went to a certified coinologist or whatever you call them.
Mm-hmm.
I took him out there, this big box of coins. I took out my wife's spreadsheet. He looked at them. He explained all this. Nowhere near that. But solid gold, because gold always fluctuates. If it's real, that holds its value.
Mm-hmm.
The gold. Silver dollars, I'll almost guarantee you won't get much for those. Unless the only way they don't is if it's a year that they didn't make too many,
mm-hmm.
Or there's something unique. There's a number of different little things. But overall, if they're just silver, like I had a big box of silver dollars that I had been getting since I was born. So I had, and there were some that were 1800s. There were some that looked, you know, they were old. They were the Liberty Head silver dollar. They had all kinds of stuff. And I was like, oh man, these are going to be.
But not so much.
Not
yeah.
so much.
And I don't know. You know,
but the gold is promising. And 1,300.
I know. And I've looked around, and there was one site that said maybe depending on where it was minted, because that's a big thing.
Ah, right. Okay.
Like if there's a CC, that means it was minted in Carson City, Nevada.
Yeah.
And they didn't mint many coins.
Okay.
So if you have a coin, an old coin with a CC on it, that could be worth $4,000 or $5,000.
Get out.
But there's only a couple hundred of those.
All right.
Because they're so rare. Now, this doesn't have that. This was minted somewhere else. So, but based on the mint, and there is, if I'm misreading the mint and it's somewhere else, it could be maybe $600 or $700. But bare minimum, it's worth a few hundred bucks at least.
Nice.
Supposedly.
Okay.
And this is.
What was on the scrap of paper?
It was just estimated value.
Oh, did it have an estimate?
It said the estimated value was $1,100 or $1,200. So,
dude.
The guy should have looked at it, and there were no pens or anything. I mean,
there were no pens.
The only thing
it was a pencil case that didn't have any pencils.
The only thing in this pencil case was old coins. So he must have just totally assumed they were worth nothing and thrown them out. But
or forgotten they were there.
When you put them in the trash, they were right on the top of everything. I didn't dig. It wasn't buried. I mean, it's this guy. It's you. Careful what you throw away.
Wow.
So one man's trash is another man's treasure.
That is the moral of that story.
That's the moral.
That's exciting.
So
are you going to stop now? Or now you're even more hooked than ever? What'd your girlfriend say about this allegedly $1,300 gold coin? Even if it's $600, who cares?
She wants to keep it.
Does she?
She loves old things. And I say, you know what I love more than old things?
New money.
$1,000.
$1,000 would be nice.
That'd be a lot nicer than a new thing.
How about it?
Old thing.
Unless it's one of those, you know, gold is a good investment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something, you know, gold usually seems to rise. Rise up. That's my second Hamilton reference. But if it's gold, that might be worth hanging on to.
It's gone up lately.
Yeah. It's gold.
So I'm not sure.
In them there are hills.
If anybody
There's gold in them there dumpsters.
If anybody is a coin collector or expert that wants to chime in on Facebook or on the website, you know, you can find us on Facebook. Let me know what you think I should do, because it was weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
At first you don't believe it, but you can feel when something.
So what'd you do with the $2 bills? Just go somewhere and spread them out on the table? We'll have two lattes.
I actually fanned myself with the money.
Did you throw them on the bed like Indecent Proposal and just roll around in it naked?
That was part of it. That was part of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, the guy was still bringing out boxes when we left, and I drove by that night. Everything was gone.
Sure.
We saw two other guys get to this area and start picking through the stuff before we
Is
even
it like
left.
Rats?
No, just people. that normal people. One guy said he's lived in Lincoln Park for 15 years, and he told us about he was a very colorful character. He talked about
why it always got to be about the colorful characters.
Some of the politics in the city and how he hates Chicago, and he's really hates this city, and he's moving to Seattle next month.
Really?
He can't stand this city. He hates it. And then he took
Do you think they have better dumpsters in Seattle?
I don't know. He took a set of silverware, though, and left.
Well, you
got
to eat.
He said, they got silverware in this one if you want it. And there was a mirror out there, and I said, do you want the mirror? He said, no, you can take it. And I decided we didn't want it. But there's a lot of cool, interesting stuff and people that you can meet by just swallowing your pride a little bit and being willing to just...
Going shopping in a dumpster.
Sometimes it's...
Well, I am not against it, obviously, because I put things out specifically for people to take. Every time we've moved, there's been something... There have been a number of things that we didn't want. I had an old... When we left our house in California, we had this big entertainment center. There was no way we were bringing it back. It wasn't going to... You know, it was like... it was a TV cabinet kind of thing.
Sure.
So I was like, all right, let's just put it on the curb. My wife's like, nobody's going to take that. I don't care. I'm putting it on the curb. If somebody takes it, if not, the garbage guys will take it. It wasn't 15 minutes. It was gone. You know, everything we put out at the old house in Frankfurt, everything we put out, we had, I felt bad. I had this old smoker where the legs were kind of bent, so I wasn't going to bring it. And so I put it out. And, you know, a scrapper would have made a ton of dough on it because it was just all cast iron. Somebody came by and was like, oh, can I take this for the Boy Scouts? I go, you take whatever's out here. There was I had tons of stuff on the curb. Take whatever you want. But then by the time he left to go get a car and somebody to help him load it, somebody else came by with a truck and just snatched it.
Whew.
And I was like, well, I'm not brokering a deal.
Right.
It's out on the curb. You take what you want. Just like the chairs today. Take what you want. Well, congratulations. This is very exciting. I hope it works out for you financially and. Do you think your girlfriend will accompany you on further trips now that you've had such luck, or is she done with this endeavor of yours?
I think so, if only for the books. And
how many books can you have in one place?
Dude, she's pushing it.
I have
a lot of books.
I like the look of books, and we have a number of books. We used to have more, but it's like, all right, I got all these books. But she reads them, right?
She's a professor.
All right, that doesn't mean she reads her books. Just like a lot of lawyers have tons of books, they never read them.
No, she reads
them. She reads them, okay.
She reads books like you or I eat pizza, free pizza.
Really?
It's insane.
Wow.
Every day she's reading a new book.
Wow. Does she finish them before she moves to the next one?
I don't think she always finishes, but she will tear through half of one and then start another and tear through that.
And I used to love to read. And now, while I still have the desire to read... It doesn't matter what I'm reading. Anytime I sit down to read, I immediately fall asleep. And it doesn't matter. It's not like, oh, I got to do this homework. And I know it's like, oh, this book seems very interesting to me. I'm going to sit down and read it. Snore. I don't know what it is.
I don't know
why I can't read anymore.
I'm that way half the time. So I have to be very awake to read it. Because she'll say, why don't you read a book or something? You know, the next hour or so. And I was like, because if I start to read, I will pass out because I'm just tired enough.
Right. I'm yawning just thinking about reading.
I know.
The only place I can read without falling asleep is on the toilet.
Mm.
Because there's so much else going on.
You don't
want to
fall asleep on the toilet.
No, I have in the past. Well, not even when I was turnt. just I was regular.
We've all been there.
I'm just tired and just fall asleep. You know, me. Then you wake up and your legs are numb and you're like, you think you're going to end up dead there because you can't move your legs.
I get the numb legs.
Yeah, somebody's going to have to come in and save me.
When I drink too much coffee at work, I'll get the numb legs and it's game over.
You're done.
You're like, fall over. I can't walk out of the bathroom sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had that every once in a while if I sit here for the whole show and don't get up to go to the bathroom because of the way the chair cuts me across the middle of my thighs. I'll go to get up and my legs will be numb. I'm like, and I know you won't come in and help me. So I have to suck it up and just pray that I don't fall over.
No help is going to happen.
No help is coming. There's no help coming.
Someone on the Facebook page said she wants a nice dinner out. I should probably, if I get any money from these coins, give her some dinner.
Give her some dinner. I'm going to toss a burger down her throat. What are you, dice?
Oh, then we had to have the talk about the ownership of the coin. Not that talk. Oh. She knows about that stuff.
Oh, do you? Does she?
Yeah, right. I hope
somebody says you need a raise. Because you're going dumpster diving. So, the ownership of the coin. This is a question you should have brought up when Karen was here.
Oh, no. I mean, she said, well, how about, so I was thinking about how we'd split it. How about 60-40? And I was like, listen, babe, you wanted to leave. I'm the one that said, hang on a second, I grabbed this thing.
Wow.
But no, if we sell it, we'll, I was thinking it could just pay for a month of rent.
Yeah, about that?
But then at the same time, and this is a good point she makes, it's like, you find a gold coin that's 140 years old, and all that translates into is 1 month rent.
Yeah.
It makes it feel kind of insignificant.
There's a part of me that would just save it.
Yeah.
If it's real gold, I would go get it appraised. You can go to one of those maybe gold places or find out what gold is going for by the ounce.
Yeah.
Weigh it up, see what it's worth. You know, because the internet with coins and stuff is wildly varied.
Yeah.
You know, you can say, oh, it's worth $1,300. Oh, it's worth $750. What? So you never know.
Maybe we have a coin collector on the program, and then they evaluate it. And then if a coin collector is watching, they could sponsor the web-exclusive podcast.
That's right. Right there. You could put just piles of coins and your beautiful name right there, like Tony and Tina's wedding.
Got to work the WGN.
We're trying. we try from our end. Our grassroots campaign, we work. And yet, you know. Sometimes it falls on deaf ears.
Well, do you want to tease something so the Facebook live audience checks out our podcast
later? I think
maybe
we just wrap it up.
You think it's
wrapped? I don't tell a story.
You don't want to tell a story?
No, I'll tell a story.
You're done?
Of course.
Well, I should end this thing then.
I'll tell a story. Yeah, we'll wrap it up. We'll wrap this part up and we'll go to the web. Then it'll be the web-exclusive podcast, which you will post allegedly sometime this week. If you're wondering, hey, where'd last week's podcast go? Which I was wondering, hey, where'd last week's podcast go? Is it coming?
I posted it Wednesday. I just forgot to post to Facebook.
I see.
Something was supposed to automatically happen, uh-huh. And it didn't. It's complicated.
Uh-huh. All right. So it'll go up. It'll go up sometime Wednesday.
Well,
Wednesday or Thursday.
Plug Tony and Tina's wedding so I can turn off the feed.
No, first we must plug. Since this part of the podcast has been your thing, we got a Game Life Balance US, Cody's other podcast on WGN Plus. So go listen to that. Buy your tickets to Tony and Tina's wedding. Go to TonyLovesTina.com. Use the code NOONAND10. Get $10 off your ticket. The show opens September 22nd. Big news, Cody will be at opening night. Cody and his lady. So if you've often wondered what Cody looks like outside of the studio or this podcast, you get to see him in all his gangly glory at Tony Loves Tina on opening night. Thank you for watching this part of the podcast. We will see you on WGNRadio.com, and we'll talk to you again here next week. Bye. There we go. All right. Finally, the intrusive camera is off of me, and we can talk amongst ourselves because I am very vain, and I still don't like the camera angle. I'm going to complain about that every week.
Really?
Yep.
Still?
No, just because I was doing so good this week. I know we've been talking a lot lately about our fitness regimes. So last Monday, I went back to grassroots. I went back to the beginning, and I started writing down everything I ate. Going back to how I originally lost all the weight, and I was, you know, doing good. It was hard the first few days because I was hungry again. And so I was writing everything down, and I was down about 6 pounds. But then last night I had a big sandwich and a number of beers. Because we went to see Brad Paisley last night.
Oh, yeah.
Our Summer of Music concluded last night with the big Brad Paisley show.
How was the finale?
I will tell you this. If you're not a country fan, you're probably not going to believe this. Brad Paisley was awesome. He was phenomenal. The show was great. I've liked country music since the mid-80s. So I go back. The first country music I was introduced to when I went to Southern Illinois was like outlaw country. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings. That kind of stuff.
Sure.
So I love all that. And I've listened to country music all the way through and the transitions from like Randy Travis and that to when Garth Brooks came out and started arena country. And now it's all the bro country with the baseball hats and the Ray-Bans and all the little honeys in their shorts. And, you know, the songs are basically all the same and they incorporate some rap in them, which I don't want to be the old guy poo-pooing it because there's some of those songs that I really enjoy. But I also enjoy some more traditional country. And Brad Paisley kind of bridges the gap. He does some poppy country. He does some real traditional country. But the guy who was middling, Tyler Farr, who has a couple songs that I really like. Guy Walks Into a Bar is one of them, and there's a couple others. But at one point, he makes a proclamation about how this is real country music. And then he launches into a cover of The Outfield's I Don't Want to Lose Your Love Tonight.
I don't want to lose your love tonight.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I
look at my wife and I look at my friend and I'm like, is he covering The Outfield? Because it was almost like Name That Tune. I heard the first three notes and I went, oh my God, that's The Outfield. And I looked at my friend and he looked at me and I was like, The Outfield? He's like, oh my God, he's about to sing I Don't Want to Lose Your Love.
Was it good?
It was okay, but it wasn't country. It's The Outfield.
Yeah.
Sung by a guy in a sleeveless t-shirt and a black baseball cap. Who, wants to party and get turnt.
That's,
It was weird. It was very weird. But I embraced my elder statesman status last night.
Oh, did you now?
I had no choice. So we had upped our hill game. We had bought these new, we always sit on the hill because I'm not going to pay $100. I like Brad Paisley for $30. I don't like Brad Paisley for $100.
No, nobody likes anybody for $100.
Well, a lot of people did. I'm not one of them. So all the shows we saw in Tinley this year, we sat on the hill and we've had a great time. So we're up there. But before we had used these little cheapy kind of beach chairs that we had gotten years ago at Target that had really no support and they were low to the ground and they were uncomfortable and it was almost not worth having a chair. It was basically just kind of a backrest.
Sure.
So I had seen at Costco these Tommy Bahama beach chairs that you could carry on your back, like a backpack. But they're a little higher off the ground, and they adjust. They tilt back and forth. Plus, they have a little cooler built into the back of them, so you could stick beverages. And then they have another pocket, so you could put other. So it's great. And they have, on the side, a cup holder and a phone holder with a flap, so you can put your phone in there, and then Velcro the lid shut so stuff doesn't get in. So these are high end. They were like $24 at Costco. So last night we broke out our new chairs to up our hill game. So we got our chairs. My wife's sitting there and I'm sitting in the middle. My buddy's sitting next to me on the other side and some other people that we knew. And behind us are a group of youngsters. Turns out 20 and 21. So they're youngsters.
Trouble brewing.
No, and I thought so too. But I've also figured I'm on the lawn. People are going to talk. I don't care as long as I get to hear. So Maddie and Tay come out. They're these two young girls, the country act. They hit it big because they wrote kind of a protest song, a woman's empowerment song about girls in country music. How, we used to get some respect, and now we're always the long-legged honeys who have to jump up in your truck with the boys. So it was like a rah-rah girl song. It's a good song. So they come out, and these guys are talking, and one of them is in love. He's in love with Maddie and Tay. And he's also told us countless times that he's the biggest country music fan in Villa Park. I don't know how big the pool is. That he's the king of them. There may be six. There may be 600. I don't know. But he's the biggest country music fan in Villa Park.
How big is Villa Park?
Well, big enough, I guess. Why don't you Google it? Nice size city.
I was Google as loudly as possible.
I know you're like the hammer typer. You're like what are the if the X-Men guy who you're like Colossus.
Villa Park is a football stadium in Aston, Birmingham, England.
That's not the same one.
You went to England for this show.
I travel to see Brad Paisley. He's that good.
That's a big. That's quite the trip for you're a big Brad Paisley fan.
Villa Park, Illinois would be what you want to Google.
Oh, okay. That's Villa Park, 22,000 people. That's not anything to.
But we
at.
Right. But we don't know how many of them are country music fans.
Interestingly, the seating capacity of Villa Park in England is 42,000.
So it's double the size of Villa Park, Illinois.
Yeah.
All right. Now, if he had told me he was the biggest country music fan at Villa Park Stadium in England, maybe it carries a little more weight.
That's a big deal. Let me see how many country music fans.
Can country you Google that? Music Slam that in there. See what happens.
As loudly as possible.
How many country music
country
fans?
Country music fans in Villa. This is the best keyboard for being
for loud,
very loud.
Yeah, everything in here is antiquated. It's like you're using a Royal typewriter. Click, click, click. Nothing. No answer. Siri doesn't help you.
Should get a typewriter. No, my Siri, my, how many my country iPhone music is over fans? on the
thing
tripod.
Yeah, for over on the, and we're pointing and nodding. Now we're on the web exclusive part where people can't see us. All right. Anyway, so this kid's behind us, and he's talking, and he loves Maddie and Tay, but he's under the impression that while Maddie seems very nice based on her Instagram posts, Tay is the B word. Based on her Instagrams and her tweets, Tay does not seem as nice as Maddie. And my buddy and I are fascinated by this conversation. We're just eavesdropping because we're sitting and he's standing above us, like right behind us. And we're howling at this conversation. And so we go out and we make a couple nice comments to him every once in a while about something about Maddie and Tay and then about Tyler Farr and all of a sudden. But the people in front of us on the hill were standing the whole time, which again, I'm on the hill. Okay, that's fine. I look to our immediate right, and if we slid over like 8 feet, we'd be able to see the stage without people standing in front of us because nobody in this area was standing. So I was like, hey, you want to slide over when, you know, after Tyler Farr is done with his crazy country outfield cover band, we can then move over so we can actually see Brad Paisley when he comes out on stage. Yeah, yeah. So these guys are still talking, and they're talking about women, and I forget, he had told us about getting in an accident and all this stuff, and how Tyler Farr sang some song about best friends, and this guy here, I'm with him, he's my best friend.
Know these people.
No. I don't hang around with random 20-year-old dudes from Villa Park.
I'm surprised you even engaged them, because you don't like people. Generally.
That is very accurate. I am also surprised that I engaged them. It could have been that I was originally supposed to have rehearsal till 4 o'clock tomorrow, or yesterday. And so I was going to race home after rehearsal, just enough time to get in the car and head out to the show. So my wife had gone out and gotten a couple nice deli sandwiches, and we were going to eat them. The idea was to have a little tailgate party, a little parking lot party. Because that's what the country folks like to do. They have parking lot parties. So we were going to have our own parking lot party. Well, I got off earlier. So I get home, and she's got the sandwiches already. I'm like, all right, well, let's stick to our original plan. We'll parking lot party. So then we load the cooler. We load it up with some margaritas. We load it up with some beers, some water. We head out to the parking lot, get there. And in an hour, I had 5 beers and a big sandwich.
But
the sandwich was so salty because it was all Italian meats, prosciutto and capicola and things like that. All those Italian meats right there. There's a little Vinny Black.
That was good.
I like that. That's my Vinny. So I have these beers, and it's one of those nights where I don't even feel them because I have so much salt in my body that it's just soaking up any bit of liquid that's in me. I'm like, I decide I'm going to be in a nice mood. And these kids are making me laugh because they're so goofy. And my buddy's like, you remember when we used to? And I was like, yeah, this is how we used to be when we were 20. You know, just goofs.
Yeah.
Just talking, oh, man, I think Tay's a... So I engage them. And we talk a little bit, this and that. And then we move over. Well, while we moved over, he had gone to the bathroom or something. So he comes back. And we're not right in front of him, but we're literally 6 feet to the side. It wasn't like we had left the building. We hadn't left the hill. Nothing. I was sitting, literally, if you turned your head, there I was.
Mm-hmm.
He comes back and he goes to his buddy. Hey, where'd the oldsters go? Where'd those humps go? And I'm like, uh-oh. I turned to my buddy. I go, you just called us oldsters.
Oldsters?
Oldsters.
No one has ever used that word.
I was called an oldster.
No one says that.
He did. The biggest country music fan in Villa Park says it.
Is this a country music phrase?
No.
Like, do they say,
It's like when Roger says it's a hoot. I don't know who says oldsters. Maybe it's like turnt. Maybe it's a younger version than you. You don't even know.
Hoot, I've heard, at least in 30s and 40s movies.
Yeah.
Oldster.
Maybe this guy was into noir.
Oldster, is this like Napster when you download gramophone record copies?
Or... Wow, that was clever.
Thank you.
I don't know what it meant. Where are the oldsters? Where'd those humps go? And I'm like, dude, he just called us oldsters. And my buddy looks at me and goes, it's because we are. I go, yeah, but we're here and we're having fun. And I go, we're not humps. He goes, yeah, I don't know. And so I'm laughing it off a little. And then my buddy goes, I got to ask him what he called us. And I'm like, oh, no. Because now I think my buddy's mad, and this is going to turn into a thing. And now, you know, now I'm going to have to all country up and, you know, throw down on the hill and go, you know, go with CM Punk on some little kids.
With the biggest country
With the
music
biggest
fans.
Country music fan from Villa Park. Yeah. I don't know if his buddy. His buddy wasn't from Villa Park.
Uh-oh.
And I don't know the... I could not gauge his country music fandom. It was not proclaimed to us at any point, so I don't know where he fell on the spectrum of fans from his particular town.
Sure.
But my buddy goes, hey, man, did you call us oldsters? And the kid panics because he thinks, oh, no, these old men are going to go. I'm going to have to fight these old men. But my buddy didn't say it in a threatening manner. He's just like, hey, what'd you call us? Oh, nothing. He goes, oh, you call us oldsters? And I lean over and I go, dude, it's okay. We think it's hilarious. Well, I don't know. I was just, you know, you guys are cool because you're here. You know, my parents are doing. My parents are sleeping, but you guys are here, so that's cool. You're all right. You know, and I'm like, dude, it's okay. Relax.
Oh, that's great.
It's fine. And then he proceeds to tell us about going into his parents' liquor cabinet and drinking before they came. And so now he's overcompensating with the friendliness because he still thinks that maybe we're not that old that we won't try to kick his ass right there on the hill.
Sure.
Because, you know, I got my lady there. I got to stand. Can't have you call
gotta
me an oldster in front of my lady.
Defend her honor.
That's right. I've been loading the guns. You want to see the show? Let's go. Buy a ticket. Bang. That's what you're getting. The gun show.
They know what guns are.
Now people are going to go, did he bring a gun to a concert? What kind of violence is he advocating? I don't enjoy that at all.
He was talking about his arms.
My biceps. Boom. If we were still on Facebook Live, you'd be swooning now because of the flex that I just threw down.
For those moped riders listening that want to.
Nobody. I'm not throwing down with anybody. I enjoyed this kid. But it was, I had never been referred. And listen, I'm not one of those guys who reaches a certain age and then tries to act like he's younger. I go the other way. I tend to act, you know, like a cranky old guy. But I still like to have a good time. And so it didn't hurt when he called me an oldster. It was just like, oh, wow. But to a 20-year-old, of course I'm an oldster.
Right.
I'm older than his parents probably, you know. But his parents were home in bed and I was out at a concert. So I was cool.
But
according to him,
you got 20 years on me, and I don't
think
you're
street cred.
You're not
an oldster.
You're not. But, oh man.
Is it because I drink Ensure during the show?
It is.
Is it because I always am worried about my hip? I'm constantly terrified of falling down.
I think that's it. And all the stuff you drink, all the
my Ensure and my vitamins,
all the Vitamix,
my Vitavita Vegemix,
yeah,
all that, my tonics.
Sure,
I take a lot of tonics before the show,
and all the naps between every newscast.
I nap a lot.
Whenever you throw to news, you just take a quick nap.
I have an Afghan over my lap now because I'm cold.
Yeah,
an Afghan man. I just thought
that was because you weren't wearing anything under your waist.
Well.
Below your waist.
I'm still cold. Naked is cold.
Touché.
So I was an oldster. I'm going to be very cranky next week, just so you know.
Why is that?
Because tomorrow I pick up my real glasses. So no more 18 pairs of cheaters.
Well, you're not going to have double glasses.
No. Tomorrow I pick up my progressive lens glasses.
Now, why will that mean you're going to be cranky? You'll have 6 days to acclimate.
Dave told me it's going to take me a couple weeks.
Oh.
And that I need to be patient.
Oh.
See, there's the buzzword.
That's
the one. And I even said to the optometrist, boy, you're talking to the wrong guy.
Yeah.
And he said, well, listen, I'm going to give you a lesson. I'm going to give you the same speech when you come to pick them up. And I'm going to give you a little lesson because, like, the top has nothing, and then it gets so, like, then it's mid-range, and then the bottom is so I can read without having to put on 87 pairs of glasses. Which, at rehearsals, they must think I'm a psychopath. Because I have one pair of glasses on when I'm just walking about and when I'm making some notes with my binder at full arm's length. And then when I have to read, I'm taking this other one out. So I have one pair of glasses on, one pair in my pocket or hanging from my collar at all times. The youngsters have to be looking and going, this old dude, he's so old, he needs two pairs of glasses.
Wow.
That's how old. So the optometrist said, and I don't know if this is, there's different guys up here. There's one who's just a technician, one there's a doctor. I don't know who's going to help me out. But they told me the first few days when you're wearing these, the stairs are going to come at you real quick. So you might want to hold on to a banister or take them off when you walk up and down stairs. And you might not want to drive with them on at first because you're going to get thrown. And I'm like, oh, my God, why am I getting these glasses if I can't do anything with them? But I have to acclimate to them before we go to España. Because I can't go to a foreign land with 87 pairs of glasses.
Right.
I would be better off, if that's the case, getting one of those machines at the eye doctor where they just keep flicking the lens. Better now, better now, better now. And I just wear one of those as giant headgear, and at least then I'd look like some sort of weird supervillain. Rather than, you know, like Cockeye, that would be my name. And I just, better now, better now. And every time I flicked it, my eyes would get bigger, and then flames would shoot out of them.
That'd be a cool setting. You would probably need a separate pair for that.
Right, but would I get stopped at customs? Undoubtedly. Would I be subject to, you know, additional searches and screenings? Most assuredly.
Now, if the flames come out of the glasses, yes. But if it's coming straight from the eyes, you're good.
Well, I would have to be wearing the big Cockeye helmet in order to see everything. So they'd be, I don't know.
You can't get bitten by a radioactive fire eye?
Is there anything that can bite me that can give me 20/20 vision again?
LASIK surgery?
I don't think I'm a candidate for that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's not, I don't like have cataracts or anything. I don't know. So, So just know that if I'm falling down a lot last week, it's not because I'm turnt. It's because I'm.
Next week. Why'd you say last week? You did this.
Next week.
You're going backwards in time.
Am I?
You're time traveling.
Well, if next week I'm falling down, because tomorrow I get the glasses. Mm-hmm. Yes. So if I'm cranky next week and falling down, it's not because I'm drunk. It's because I got these glasses. But I do like the way the glasses look on me. I'll be interested to get your feedback on them.
That's all that matters.
I think they look good, but that comes after they were evaluated both by Debbie and Molly.
Are you going to be hip? Wait, your daughter approved of something you did?
Yep. Well, after she unabashedly screamed at a few pairs, those are awful. Oh, those are, no, don't, no, you can't get those. Oh my God, no.
I was going to say.
Oh, those look okay. Oh, really? Yeah, all right, yeah, those look okay. I kind of like those. Hold on.
Those look okay is like getting endorsed for president.
Right, it's like, oh my God, you should be on the cover of Vogue.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think I'll be hip. They're kind of retro. Actually, if you've seen the commercial for Kiefer Sutherland's new TV show, Lone Survivor, I think it's Soul Survivor. He plays a cabinet member who every time they give the State of the Union, you know, they put one cabinet member in a secret location. So that this is true. So when the president is giving his State of the Union, they have somebody from the cabinet sequestered away in a safe location. So if, God forbid, there's an attack, there's at least one member of the government to keep things going.
This is true.
Kiefer plays that guy because he's put in this safe place and they blow up the Capitol. I don't know who blows it up. That we'll probably find out in the first episode. So now he is the president of the United States.
What show is this?
It's either called Lone Survivor or Soul Survivor. Something like that. It's coming on ABC. It hasn't premiered yet. It's premiering this month on ABC.
Huh.
But back to my spectacles, which as an oldster, that's what I call them, my spectacles. His are very similar to the ones I have. His are a little rounder, but the color scheme is basically the same. Because I wanted to be hip. So I, of course, went to Warby Parker.
Yeah.
Warby Parker could be right here.
Could be sponsoring this podcast.
Could be sponsoring the podcast or the show. And because they're the epicenter of hip glasses. That's, you know, what I've been told.
Wow.
Our friend Elliot Serrano was the first one to turn me on to Warby Parker. Anyway, So I go and they have all these glasses, and I think they, well, you'll see. I don't know. It's weird because I tried on a bunch. I tried on like big dark ones, and I tried on some round ones that were fun, and they're there to help you fit, you know, where they should land on your face and if they fit me and stuff. And all the ones I tried on, they're like, oh yeah, they fit you. But they all looked weird on me because I've never worn glasses except for these cheaters, and I don't count them because I could take them off and still function. So I needed to find something that I would actually work on my face.
So you're going to wear them all the time?
I have to wear them all the time.
Wow.
It's going to be weird. I'll wear them most of the time. Like when I'm driving, I may or may not because I can see far perfectly. But the problem is that I can't really see my dashboard. I mean, dashboard is where things start. So from that distance up, I have difficulty.
Sure.
Like, I can see you. You're a tiny bit blurry. Now you're much better. Hmm. So maybe I should just wear these and see. Yeah, now you're clearer. Now you're a little blurry.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's like flipping the thing.
Right, but I can read, like, on the bus stop way out there, I can read that sign.
Huh.
So.
Well, it is an adjustment, and now it'll become a part of your
look.
Yeah. And that's...
So these are kind of retro. They have a madman kind of vibe to them.
Cool.
So I think they'll be okay. It's Tennessee whiskey is the color of the frame.
That's one of my favorite Jack Daniels. Nope. Yeah. Hold on.
Huh?
Is Jack Daniels Tennessee whiskey?
Yes, it is.
That's one of my favorite whiskeys.
All right.
It's not one of my favorite whiskeys, but it says Jack Daniels Tennessee whiskey.
Yeah.
And I made the association. What's Maker's Mark? That's a bourbon.
Maker's Mark is a bourbon.
I like Maker's Mark.
I like Maker's
Mark,
too.
What's the difference between whiskey and bourbon?
Something in the fermentation process and the ingredients.
Tastes the same. I do not have a distinguishing palate. I'm sure someone listening is going to say, they don't taste anything like each other. And that's fine. They probably don't to anyone with a palate.
Right.
Mine is very narrow.
Yeah, mine is as well. I like bourbon because I had bad experiences on whiskey.
Mm.
But I think Jack Daniels might be a bourbon. I think. I don't know for sure. I don't want to get into it. But I like them both. But anyway, so there's there. And I got prescription sunglasses too. So now I'll be very jazzy.
Sweet. Well, I will try to put up with you next week.
Don't put things in my way. I don't want to come in and have you like try to booby trap things and leave like blocks or a stool or pull something out. So I'm constantly having to readjust. And I'm going to be like seasick. I'm going to be walking around. People go, what's going on with him? And then I'll probably drive into a bus. Who knows what's going to happen? But I'll look good doing it.
Yeah, that crate over there, the milk crate that the tripod is sitting on, that's going to be
on the floor. I see a lot of, how come all the lights are off? Oh, me falling, stubbing my toe, slamming my shins.
Also, I feel like since we readjusted the lights last week completely, no one's messed with it.
Nobody's done anything.
Because when I sit in the producer booth now, whoever's sitting in your spot, which is normally a guest spot, looks like they're glowing.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Nobody's changed anything. Nobody pays attention to what we do.
Just us.
Just us and the people who listen to us. We thank you for paying attention.
I wonder if I hung a picture in the producer booth, how long it would take someone to notice.
I wrote, remember when I went through my phase where I was always commenting on the things that they had on the big whiteboard up in the office? And I would write things, I would get up on a stool or something and write them as high as I could right along the ceiling. And for a while they were erasing them and then they didn't. And so I wrote, I want to go higher. And put a little arrow up there. It has to be 6 to 8 months ago.
Oh, 8 months.
At
easy.
Least, right?
Yeah.
And it's been there, and nobody's commented, and nobody's erased it, because nobody can reach it. Because besides me, you're the tallest guy here.
Bennett.
Bennett, yeah, but Bennett's not paying attention.
And Steve
to
Bertrand.
Yeah, but Bertrand doesn't come in there except to walk around and flaunt his newsiness.
He's very newsy.
Right, he's very newsy. He's
full of newsiness.
So last night, to my amazement... I'm flipping through Instagram, and after I get through all my suicide girl pictures and you know my fit girl pictures,
you follow the suicide.
No, I'm just
what? No. That's such a weird.
I like girls with ink. What can I tell you?
And piercings everywhere.
And I was also looking to see if Molly had posted anything because she's been incommunicado while she's been in Valencia. So I'm flipping through, and I see Amy Guth. Amy Guth loves social media. Amy Guth is very good at social media. She's an early adopter, and we like Amy Guth. She's a wonderful, talented, beautiful woman. Smart. And she posts a picture. She says, I don't know who wrote this on the WGN board, but that person is awesome. And there's a picture of my little I want to go higher with the arrow. And I'm like,
you commented, right?
I cryptically said, I think I might know who it is, with a winky emoji. She has not responded. But I thought it was funny after all this time. You know what it is? Because nobody stands there and looks up at the ceiling. And I didn't make it it's not printed very large.
No.
It's just up there. Because people used to put all kind of goofy stuff on that board. And so I decided I was going to write goofier stuff, but really high.
Now, do you think that she mistook the wink as a come on?
Oh, God, I hope not. I don't think she would. We've had face-to-face communication, so she knows I'm not, you know.
Creepy.
I'm not Johnny Hit-On. I'm not, hey, Amy Guth, what's happening?
That whiteboard's funny. At my office, there's all these meeting rooms that have little stickers that say, write on me.
Yeah.
And because we have smart walls at my work.
Smart walls?
So, like, the whole wall
is... Do they talk to you?
Sometimes.
Oh, that's creepy.
And they talk in Kit's voice is the best part. They got the guy that does Feeny to voice it all.
That's weird.
Yeah. And on the...
I don't know what that girl's doing. Something weird.
Taking lots of pictures.
Getting lots of pictures.
I guess.
I don't know.
Pressed up against the glass.
Yeah, but not in a good way. I was hoping we'd see some of that, but nothing.
I bet.
Nothing.
And they've got the white walls, and you can write on the walls. But there are maybe three or four...
She's going to come back. She's going to do it.
Three Hold or on. Four walls in our meeting rooms... at my day job that aren't smart walls.
All right.
So occasionally you'll see somebody will draw, you know, they'll write one word in black marker and then realize, oh God.
Oh no,
this doesn't
it's the wrong wall.
So like every couple of months there will just be one word written in black marker, like a line somewhere. And that's the only thing on the wall and they can't wash it off. So they just have to, and it's like, we can't just make those two other walls smart walls because all the other ones are smart walls.
Nope. You got to have a couple dumb walls to offset the smart walls.
So I feel like I should go into the WGM whiteboard because it's most of a wall.
Yeah.
And just write right next to it. Just like the letter C or something. Start a word there. Or like it's like,
well, listen,
the,
who knows how long we're going to be in this building?
We used to
let's start trashing this
dump. That's true. Like how we used to write our shopping list on a little magnetized whiteboard thing on my fridge at home.
Yeah.
And one time my girlfriend wrote bananas in permanent marker with a Sharpie.
Oh no.
So now we always need bananas.
Which makes sense.
Which we do.
Shouldn't you always? Everybody always needs bananas.
I have a banana on the desk right now. I'm going to eat it right after this podcast.
I don't like bananas.
Really?
Can I go out? Can I tell you that without judgment? My wife and my wife loves bananas. My daughter does not like bananas. I think to myself sometimes, perhaps I should revisit my dislike of bananas because it's been since a childhood. It's a texture thing. There's something about bananas. I just don't like them.
That's fair. They're extremely healthy.
Well, they have a lot of carbs, don't they?
Well,
I know
they
that's
have,
why.
They have some carbs, which is why they're good fast acting. Blood sugar.
Yeah, I think that's why my wife stopped eating them on the reg.
Mm.
I'm going to try to not sound like an oldster by using really inappropriate young kid lingo.
Anyone who says oldster is doing it wrong. I don't know what they're doing wrong, but they're doing it wrong.
Doing something. Kid, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
What? You heard me. You're doing something wrong, kid. I was checking to see while we're talking about this if Amy did, in fact, comment on my...
Oh, you're checking. I have started using Instagram a bit more now. I went dark pretty much for a year or
so. Did you really?
I too much social media. Why do I need one more thing to check and to post on? But now I'm going to get back into it. I posted a moment. Now they have Snapchat moments basically on there.
Yes, I've been watching some of the. Nope, she did not comment.
So I follow a few people. I there was a moment posted by the other producer. What is her name?
You posted them. Oh wow! How do you do that writing on there?
It's like a pen thing. I don't know. But I follow.
I don't know.
Who do I follow? I follow. Well, there's a producer, Rachel Woodall.
Yes, Rachel Woodall.
I follow her.
I follow her as well.
Right. She had like a Snapchatty moment where you could see, and she posted the producer booth and said,
"Oh, nice."
At WGN. So I did that tonight because I'm unoriginal and thought that she
you
did
stole
it well.
Her thing.
Yeah.
There's some people who are on Snapchat all the time or in Instagram.
Instagram.
I look at it all the time. I don't post on there all the time. I forget.
Yeah,
I forget about it, but I like it.
Too much social media.
Yeah,
that's all. My friends are getting into Snapchat now. All of them are using
Snapchat.
And
I have an account.
I don't. Why?
I don't know. Because I thought I had to. I don't even know how to sign in anymore.
No, I'm saying, why be on another thing?
Right. I've already got a picture app. It's Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
and I could do my little things. And some people like those, the story thing. I don't quite, not that I don't get it, but it's like, oh, all right. What's the difference between that and a picture, other than you can create a longer thing and you can write on it with your little pen and, you know, maybe I just write Oldster under every picture.
I think Snapchat's good if you get really drunk or you're on drugs or something and you want to document it, send it to a couple friends and not have a record of it.
But supposedly it's still there. You can find it. That's what worries me about it, because people operate under the assumption that it's gone forever, and it's been proven that it's not gone forever. It's just, you know, hiding, lurking, waiting for you. Oh, my. So, all right. I think we've recapped everything. We had two fabulous stories from you, your CM Punk recap, which was fun, and your dumpster diving expedition, which may turn into very profitable.
We'll see.
Exciting. Then we had my mundane tale of being called an old man at a concert and not fighting a 20-year-old kid, because he told me he was 21 earlier. And then after we confronted him about calling us oldsters, he was like, to be honest, let you know the secret, I'm only 20.
Oh.
And we were like, well, you're still over 18, so we could pummel you and not, you know, not really cost you anything.
Illegal.
Not that we were going to do it. And now you have fair warning about next week. So everything seems good.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, now I got to get back to rehearsals. We got to do all the theatery stuff, and you've got a big week going, and we'll release some podcasts.
I don't have a big week at all.
No, you don't
have
a big
week? Nothing.
Aren't you going to, you're going to go dumpster diving again? Nothing?
I'm going to take a break now.
Game life balance, U.S.? That not happening?
That happens this week.
All right.
But,
well, that's exciting.
It's another week.
How's the dragon?
Dragon's great.
Now, the dragon was not a dumpster find.
No.
But if you found something to parallel the dragon, to match the dragon, would it come off the place of honor above your fireplace?
Nothing can replace the dragon.
Are you sure?
It's pretty irreplaceable.
It's pretty cool. I've seen it.
I mean, it looks like a stone dragon hanging on my wall.
A stoned dragon.
And
because it has, what, dreadlocks and a spleef hanging from its mouth?
Yeah, I was going to buy not a yarmulke, not a rod.
Wow. Why is your dragon suddenly Jewish?
I don't know, because I can't think of hat. The Rasta?
The Rasta hat?
Is that the name of a hat?
We'd get it. If you said the Rasta hat, we'd understand.
Jamaican hat. But then when I said yarmulke, you knew exactly what I meant. It was
wrong. Well, sure. I knew both, because I'm a hat fiend.
You're a hat aficionado.
I actually almost bought... I used to have cowboy hats. I used to have a nice white straw cowboy hat and a black felt cowboy hat.
You must wear that next week.
I can't. Because when I lost all the weight, my head shrunk.
Mm.
So I donated those hats a while ago when I was getting rid of all my old clothes. The hats had to go too, because they were too big and they'd just spin like I was a pinhead, like I was a Zika baby. My head would just my head did not fit in there. And if you're a Zika baby, I'm making a joke. Relax. I don't wish that on anybody. But I thought, ooh, we're going to see Brad Paisley. It's the end of the Summer of Music. I love wearing hats now, so maybe I'll go get a cowboy hat, because I had what I thought was a gift card for a big Western store. Because when I bought Debbie a pair of boots a while ago, if you spent like $200, you got a $25 gift card or something. I was like, okay. So I've had this. Of course, you know, with gift cards, you use it or you lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, So the other day, before rehearsal, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to leave a little early. I'm going to take my gift card. I'm going to go to this store, Alcala's Western Wear. Bing, bing, bing. You can come in and sponsor us, too. We love cowboys. And I'll put this toward a hat, because I can get it. I'll get a relatively inexpensive one. I'm not going to spend a ton. I'm going to let you guess. I'm going to let you guess the price of a cowboy hat, the top-of-the-line cowboy hat, Larry Mahan felt cowboy. It's probably, I don't know what the material is, but a heavy one, not a straw one. What do you think the top-of-the-line Larry Mahan hat goes for at Alcala's Western Wear?
$80?
Dude, the top ones they had, $1,900.
Shut up.
For a cowboy hat.
Shut up.
Unless you're Wyatt Earp, $1,900 for a cowboy hat.
The
ones I was looking at. Not the ones that I was going to price out with my $25 gift card, but... $1,900.
I have 150-year-old gold coin that couldn't afford that.
Right. Your dumpster diving treasure, you could not wear that on your head.
Wow.
I don't know who's buying a $1,900 cowboy hat on Chicago Avenue in Chicago, But they've got them. They also had some lovely boots, some nice a crocodile or some sort of reptilian boot that was $2,500 for the pair. But I go in and I immediately stop at the big front desk and I say to the woman, "Oh, I got this gift card and I can't remember how much is on it. It doesn't say what's on it." "Oh, all right, I'll run it." And she goes, "I'll start at like $100. I go, "I know it wasn't $100. She goes, "Okay." And she's trying to figure it out. She can't get it. "I'll go to the other machine." All right. She goes, "Well, how long did you have this?" I go, "I don't know. A couple of years maybe." "Oh, yeah. Nothing." I go, "What?" She goes, "Yeah, it's too old. There's nothing on it." I'm like, "Are you serious?" "Yeah, I'm sorry. There's nothing on it." I'm like, "Oh, man." So now I go and I'm looking and I see some nice hats, you know. But even the straw hats, the really nice ones, are like $120.
Wow.
And I'm like, I'm not, because they're well-made, nice hats. People wear them. Anyway, I don't know. But there's some that are like $50, $60, which had I had $25 in a gift card, I might have spent.
Sure.
But then I was like, no, I'm not going to. And then I couldn't decide. Do I go white or black? Am I a white hat guy or a black hat guy?
Well, what goes better with the seersucker suit?
That's not a cowboy hat. That you wear a nice fedora or a skimmer.
Oh, it's a fedora,
or a
bowler. Yeah, you would match it with the most expensive outfit you have, I reckon.
Well, see, but it's also you're sending a message. If you wear a nice white or natural color hat, that's you're a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
If you wear the black hat, you're kind of a bad boy. I don't know which way to go.
Hmm.
But the point is, then I didn't go anyway. Because I was like, you know what way I went? Out. Because I'm not dropping that kind of dough on a hat that I'm going to wear to one concert and then put away. And maybe I'd wear it next summer, but the season's over.
Yeah.
The straw hat season is over. And I'm not going to invest. I'm not going to invest in a felt cowboy hat, wintery cowboy hat. Because I'm not riding the range.
Mm-mm.
Plus, there's a million. It's the craziest thing. There's a million different crown heights and widths and brim widths and how do you fold it up and how there's a whole science between the cowboy hat.
Do I need to book someone from the cowboy hat
industry? I would get somebody from Resistol because I know I need Resistol because they make an oval shaped hat and my head is more ovally, if you can see the top, rather than round.
I do.
Stetson, which is one of the top-of-the-line hat makers, they make their hats are round, so they don't fit my head well. I need a nice oval shape for my head.
Dude, it's too much.
There's too much hat information.
Way too much hat
That's
information.
That's a lot. And on that, we'll tip our hat and say goodbye, because we can't talk any more about hats. We can't talk any more about wrestling. Or what else are we talking about? Dumpster diving?
Treasure hunting, gold.
Nothing. We've covered a lot of time. I can't wait to see all the hashtags you have on this. I want one of the hashtags to be oval head.
One of the hashtags will be oldster.
Oldster, oval heads, dumpster diving, treasure hunting.
Treasure hunting, gold.
CM Punk.
Cash for gold.
Cash for gold. Need more sponsors. All of that.
Yeah.
So
that's good. Well, hey,
it's quite a man. This is a wild one.
Let's try now,
look at the time. The old timey radio folks are going to want to get in here.
Always.
All right. Thank you for listening. We love you. We'll talk to you again.